the last week, we were in Newtown, Connecticut, for a prayer conference, and I'm suggesting, I mean, we've made it a requirement for our prayer team, but I'm suggesting that you go out to their website and you download, all of the messages are available. You can go to Grace Family Church. That's Grace Family Church in Newtown, Connecticut. N-E-W-T-O-W-N. So that's Grace Family Church. And we'll put up a flyer out there or something. And it's Newtown, Connecticut. And it's Pastor Adam Fredericks. And you just go to, it'll have latest messages or something like that. And you go and it'll say Prayer Conference 2021. And there should be eight messages. There were eight messages, eight or nine. And I'm going to tell you right now, they were life-changing. And the three individuals, two of those ministers have been here. One was Ann Durant, and the Durants have been here a few times. And also Reverend Leanne Sozeby, who was over the prayer and healing school at Rhema. Anointed. And then also the other individual who was there, that he oversaw the prayer and healing school at Rhema, and then when he went out on the field ministry, then Reverend Leanne took over. That was Jim Hockaday. And I'm telling you, if you will listen to these messages, it will change your life. The revelation that these three individuals imparted, I've heard things, man, I'm telling you, I'm listening going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. They shared also, because they traveled with Brother Hagin when he was alive, they traveled on the crusade team and they interacted with him. They'd go to his home, they'd eat with him, all three of them, that they shared stories I've never heard, that Brother Hagin shared with them. I've never heard them. And they were amazing stories about how he operated in faith. He just shared, they interacted and he shared things. So I'm just sharing with you that it'll change your life. Take the time to feed upon them, get notes, write them. And I'm going to just share this real quick story. And it's part of, you know, again, you could look at it as part of our message today. But Reverend Leanne was sharing something that when she was in prayer and healing school, Leanne Sozeby, she said they were praying. She was standing at the podium and she was down praying like this, and they're praying, and all of the people in the group they had their heads down and they were praying. They were praying up a storm, she said. And she said she's standing there and she felt a wisp of wind come by her. She felt something like a breeze go by on her left side. And she said, who's up here? Somebody come up, you know, and she opened her eyes. She said, who's coming up here? I'm, you know, we're praying. She said, it didn't bother me, but who's coming up here? And she looked and there was nobody. So she went back to praying. And she said she felt another wisp of wind go by her on the right side. And so she said, who's up here? So she looked, and then she said they went back to praying. So they're praying, and she said, all of a sudden, she said she felt a presence come into the room, and it came up, and she said it was right in front of the podium. She said, I like goosebumps. She said, but it may give me goosebumps. She said, somebody's in the room. And she stopped. She said, hey. She said, everybody. She said, somebody's in the room. She said, I don't know if it's Jesus or an angel. She said, but let's pray and see what they want to say. So they went back to praying. And then she said, all of a sudden, she said, that presence said, my anointing is upon the curriculum or the structure of the prayer school at Rhema. So she stopped and it didn't say anything else. And she said, well, I'll share that. And then she shared that. And then she said, then they went back to praying, and she said, then she walked away from the pulpit, and she said, I didn't say anything else. So she walked away. And then she said she came back, and she said she didn't sense that presence. And so if you know her, she said, I got an attitude. She's like, oh, man. And she's gone. He's gone. And she says, I got a tood. I got upset, and I got really upset. And so she said they went back to praying. And so she said about that time, she looked up, and she said she heard the back door in the room open up. And she said, through the door walked Jesus. She said she's standing there with her eyes wide open, Jesus walking through the door in his robe and sandals, walked up, walked down the middle aisle, and stood right in front of the pulpit. And he looked at her and tipped his head, and he said, Leanne, with a smile, and said, don't you know that that same presence... He said, do you know that the same presence that you felt and sensed when I was here is in you all the time? Those types of stories. Now, yes, we know that he lives in us. But when you hear something where Jesus says to her, that same presence that you felt in front of the pulpit, like when I, he said, when I was in the room, is in you and with you all the time. All the time. He is with you all the time. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. So his mighty presence is in us and lives in us. And don't you ever, 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 ever say he not here. Don't you ever even think for one microsecond, a thought from the devil that says you're defeated, because the greater one who's in you lives in you. Don't you ever let the devil condemn you, for there is no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ. Don't you ever, 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 ever let those kind of thoughts persist in your mind, because he's greater and he loves us with a love that you can't, sometimes we don't even fathom. He's not upset at your attitudes. He loves you and he lives in you. The devil just doesn't want us to come to the realization of who lives in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get to something today in this message here, but let's just kind of land on here where we're celebrating. You know, we could say Easter Sunday, it's a time of celebration. It's the resurrection of Christ. We're celebrating Jesus' defeat over the devil. So he did what? He broke through. He broke through and overcame what? Death, hell, and the grave for us. Hallelujah. The scriptures, what does the scripture say? There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 8:6, he's the mediator of what? A better covenant. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. Only one way to get to the Father, it's through Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what he said in John 14:6. But let's just quickly look at John 3:16 or 14 through 17. And we look at his purpose for coming. And in the King James, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not," what? "Perish, but have eternal life," or everlasting life. "For God so loved the world that he gave," what? "His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to do," what? "Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 John 3:8, he was what? He was manifested, the purpose, what the scripture says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So here's the thing, that resurrection life did destroy the works of the devil. He's got all power. And so that resurrection life is in you, that overcoming life is in you. So when you are confronted with the works of the devil, he's already been defeated. And that life in you overcomes it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he was crucified. We know this from the scriptures. Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced. In the New Living, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Hallelujah. And we were made, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," God did what? He, God, "made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You can't get any more righteous. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare," what? "Our sins in his own body on the tree, that," what? "We being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we were crucified with him. When he was crucified, we were crucified. Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ." Somebody said, "Well, I don't know about that." You know, you can come up with your own personal revelation, but it won't, if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, you're out in left field. You're wrong. And the Scripture is right, because the Spirit and the Word will always agree. You know, something Brother Hagin shared years ago as a minister of the gospel, who was sound in his teaching and in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. He said this, he said, "If I think I've gotten a revelation from God," he said, "first I look in the Word of God to see if it's supported. And," he said, "I also, before I share it publicly, I will run it by other ministers whom I respect, so I don't just get out there and teach something." That's a good minister of the gospel. That you don't lead the sheep astray with revelations that you thought you got. They may be, but they may not be. "So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but" what? "Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," who what? "Who loved me and gave himself for me." Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what does the scripture say? "He was buried, so were we." Romans 6:11 and Colossians 2:12. I'm sorry, Romans 6:4. "Therefore, We are buried with him by how? Baptism into death, that like as Christ, like as Christ, who? We, like as Christ, were raised up from the dead. How? By the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen. Who's risen? We are risen. How? With him through the faith of the operation of God. Oh, yes, this resurrection life has raised us from the dead through the operation of the power of God. Glory to God. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. And this here shows that he did what? He took our offenses or sin and was released and raised from the dead when? Because we were declared righteous. It wasn't his sin. It was ours. So when we were declared righteous, he was released. And the power of God raised him from the dead. When you look at this in the, I believe, do they have the New King James? I don't know if you do. If you do, put that up. And then the Young's literal translation. Because it actually is a little clearer. The New King James, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was raised because we were justified. Hallelujah. And the Young's literal translation, again, along the same line, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses. See, I like this. He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we talk about these things, let's turn over. I want to just add to this a little bit. In the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 2, we've read this recently. Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14. And we can see what he did. You know, Paul, by revelation, gives us further insight here in his writings to the church at Colossae. In verse 11, it says in the Passion Translation, through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. We're brand new creatures. All of the guilt and power of sin has been what? Cut away and is now extinct. What does extinct mean? That means it no longer exists. Because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism of death, you know, we just got done reading about being buried with him in baptism. Our baptism in death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. The power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state. Oh, yeah, it does. For we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Now look at verse 14. This gets me excited reading this. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. You know, anybody that's been arrested and they go, you know what? Anybody who's been in law enforcement, they know this. You know, when there's evidence, they prove that you're guilty or they prove that you're innocent. But if you were guilty and there were charges held against you, legal violations, and they turn around and somebody said, erase it, forgiven. Oh, that's a happy day for that person. That's a happy day because they can't find that. There's no evidence that it ever existed. This is what we're talking about here. Jesus took our sins and the violations or the legal violations against us, he paid for it. And they can't be retrieved. They don't exist. They're under the blood. The blood has remitted them. And this goes on. It says, everything we once were in Adam has been what? Placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there, permanently, as what? A public display of cancellation. So the next time the devil wants to get in your head and your mind, you point him to the cross and you remind him that there's a permanent display of public, it's public cancellation. You remind him. Doesn't pertain to me. Pick up your noise and your stuff and leave. So what do we say? We've been sharing no evidence. There's no evidence of your sin. It's been erased. And it cannot be retrieved. So why are you looking for it? Why are you even entertaining thoughts about your past? Why are you entertaining thoughts about sickness and disease and lack? It may come. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist in this natural realm. But resurrection life, healing is in God. And who's in me? God is in me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So God lives in me. So healing lives in me. How is that released? By faith. Faith in the power of God. And so it's released. It doesn't mean that stuff doesn't come into our presence and try to attack our bodies and our minds, but greater is that resurrection life in me. Romans 8, what does it say? That same spirit that raised Christ, who? From the dead. Where does he dwell? He dwells in me. And he that dwells in me is quickening my mortal body. He's giving life through that resurrection life. He's quickening and doing what? Driving out that which is trying to attack me. Attack my finances, attack my family, attack whatever it is. He's defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's quickly look at Colossians 3:1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 in the New Living. So what we've been sharing is when you've been forgiven, there's no evidence. Because of this resurrection life, there's no evidence in your spirit of your old man, your old nature. It's gone. It's eliminated. That's why the scripture tells us to put on the new man. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Where's my real life? It's hidden with Christ in God. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians, let's look at verse 7 in the New Living, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. This treasure, the scripture came in my thinking this morning, says, now we have this light shining in our hearts. Oh, this resurrection life. This light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. We have this great treasure in us. The Passion Translation says, we're like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's and not ours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the scripture tells us what he did all of this to defeat the works of the devil and to come and live and take up residence in us so that we could what? Reign in this life. So when you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, what? Much more, say much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just think, you know, this the thought came to me, you know, scripture supporting scripture. But in John, we don't have to turn there, but I'm just making mention, John, I believe it's John 14, Jesus said, John 11, he said to Martha, on his way, she said, if you'd been here, you know, he said, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And what did Jesus say to her? To Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, or in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So when we reign in Christ, or reign in this life through Christ, we are reigning in this life through resurrection. Because it says here, we're reigning in life by one Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection. So I'm reigning in life through resurrection life, his life. Hallelujah. Everybody see that? Glory to God. So we are overcomers, and this life that we've been given, you know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, in the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 1 in the New Living in verses 21 through 23, it says, now he, being Jesus now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. Oh, yes. Or you could say he's put all things under the authority of Christ, underneath or beneath this resurrection life that's in us. He's in us. And has made him to be the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So we have this treasure, this resurrection life in us. Let's begin to walk in it. Let's begin to meditate on who's in us. And not get overwhelmed with things that we see. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by Faith. Faith what? Faith in what he's done. Faith in this power. Faith in this resurrection life. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading something recently. I do read every day an entry, Faith Food or Health Food, by Brother Hagin. And there was something he shared that was insightful. That's why I say a lot of times you go back and you think, oh, well, you know, they walked in victory. No, he said something. He keeps saying this. You go back and look at some of his videos on YouTube. And he said this. He said, I laugh my hardest when things are the toughest. He said, why do I need to laugh when things are going good? He said, I rejoice and I laugh at the devil when things are the hardest in my life. He said, you need to just purpose to laugh at the devil. Why? Because he's defeated. See, just quickly turn over, brings to mind a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Or you could back up in verse 7 and 8 and 9. Yeah, just 7, 8, and 9. 1 Peter 5, 7, 8, 9. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What does it say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist. Steadfast in the what? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So when stuff comes in your life, start to laugh at them, because you know this resurrection power is greater. It's greater. You just laugh. He's trying to do what? Overtake you, get you over into fear. But this greater one's in me. This greater one is in me. Hallelujah. And he is quickening our minds and our bodies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It may not be physical challenges, but whatever it is, you laugh because Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So this resurrection life is in us to give us life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. And to live an overcoming life. And not just for us, but Mark 16, we're to go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel, preach the gospel, share the good news of the gospel. So he that believeth shall be baptized and saved. He that doesn't won't. And to do what? Go and cast out devils, lay hands upon the sick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we just reflect today, reflect on who is in you. Reflect that this great treasure that's been deposited, you've become a brand new person. You are somebody. You've got this treasure in earthen vessels. And the devil knows it. Hallelujah. And you need to remind him daily, you're defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this day. Thank you for this resurrection life that's in us. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We rejoice and give you glory. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I know most of you here, I see you, and again, this is for anybody here that I may have missed, but anybody here and anybody watching online, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, he's already paid the price. All you have to do is believe that he is the Redeemer, the Savior, and that he was raised from the dead. Because without resurrection life, there is no eternal life. And without the shed blood of Jesus. So let's make this simple profession of faith. Father God, I realize that I need you, and I come to you today, and I believe that you're the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. And I believe that, and I also confess with my mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, make something new of me, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus, and I confess and believe that I'm saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, that's all you need to do. You've changed your destination from hell to heaven, from going down to going up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you made that simple profession of faith, then just let us know. Let us know today, here, if you're here, and also online. The contact information is there on the screen to let us know, and we'll rejoice and send some information to you as to who you've become. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.